An Alaska Native leader and former lawmaker remained in the hospital yesterday after suffering a heart attack Monday in Juneau. Providence Alaska Medical Center in Anchorage listed Albert Kukesh in critical condition as of late yesterday. Kukesh co-chairs the Alaska Federation of Natives and chairs the Sea Alaska Regional Corporation's Board of Directors. His family could not be reached for immediate comment, but Sea Alaska posted an update on its website saying he is resting after undergoing surgery to correct a blockage. The update says doctors plan to wake him up from sedation today. It says his family asked that no flowers be sent because Kukesh is allergic. The Angoon Democrat served 8 years in the state House and 8 years in the state Senate. He lost a re-election bid last year after redistricting separated him from many of the communities that he represented. A bill relaxing state standards for cruise ship wastewater discharges is on its way to the governor for his signature. House Bill 80 passed the state Senate 14-6 yesterday on a largely party-line vote. Every Democrat except Bethel's Lyman Hoffman voted against the measure, while all Republicans voted for it. Gullivan Democrat Donnie Olson is a member of the Republican-led Senate majority but voted against the bill. Olson says many people think cruise ships are only an issue in southeast or south central Alaska, but he says his constituents are concerned about vessels coming to northwest Alaska.
Their concerns has been that we've seen more and more cruise ships coming down the Northwest Passage and coming on down through Bering Straits, and the people from Savunga, the people from St. Lawrence Island are very concerned about what's going on, and they're watching this bill very closely.
House Bill 80 was proposed by the Parnell administration and previously passed the House. It strips a requirement approved by voters in a 2006 citizens initiative that would make cruise ship wastewater meet state water quality standards at the point of discharge. It also allows mixing zones where multiple ships can dump treated waste in the same area. Anchorage Republican Kathy Giesel says municipalities and other businesses are allowed to have mixing zones. She argued the state would still hold the cruise industry to high standards.
The intent of HB 80 is to apply a consistent environmental approach to all wastewater discharges in Alaska, cruise ships, municipalities, fish processors, and others.
The bill also passed on a reconsideration vote yesterday. Juneau Senator Dennis Egan, another Democrat who caucuses with the majority, switched his vote in favor of the bill on reconsideration after originally voting against it. Attu Island is overdue for some spring cleaning. 70 years after World War II, the island is still littered with shards of old Coke bottles, lead-based batteries, leaking fuel drums, and unexploded artillery. This summer, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which manages the remote island as a refuge, will survey the extent of World War II debris and contamination. As KTOO News intern Kelsey Gabrowski reports, the entire ecosystem could be affected by decades of pollution.
Attu gave biologist Deborah Rudis goosebumps. Until her first visit to the island in 2007, Rudis had only seen Attu's past while sifting through decades of documents for her job at Juneau's U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service office. She plans to return this summer with a team of other scientists to catalog the cleanup work that needs to be done. Rudis says evidence of military occupation sticks around on Attu.
It's such a wet environment that all that surface water continues to flow and meet the creeks and go downstream. In a few places, you just kind of kick into the edge of the stream bank and you could release some product coming out into the water. And you'd see the oil slick just move downstream.
During her 2007 visit, Rudis shared the island with a few Coast Guardsmen and two other biologists. Now, the Coast Guard station is closed. She is a contaminants biologist and was on Attu to survey the pollution. She calls the hydrocarbon pollutants product because there's more than just oil.
There's bunker C, and there's lubricants, and there's different oils, and there's diesel fuels.
World War II's Aleutian campaign is sometimes called the Thousand Mile War. The U.S. military built a base on Attu and deployed 15,000 U.S. troops there. Rudis says about 2,000 Japanese soldiers dug into the ground or navigated caves for shelter. Cliffs and mountains separated the two bases. The U.S. retook Attu from the Japanese in 1943 in the only World War II battle on American soil. Rudis followed the trail of troop supplies while surveying Attu. She counted thousands of fuel barrels, many so rusted only the skeletal rings remained. Their contents had pooled and solidified, creating an asphalt lot in the middle of the Aleutian tundra, an example of the pollution of war.
When World War II was over, they just left it. And even in the 70s and the 80s, when the Navy or other military entities left other places in the Aleutians, they left it behind. They left their buildings. They left the coffee cups on the table. They left their papers. It's amazing when you go in there and you see this stuff. Now, in Attu, most of it's pretty well gone and decayed. But the contaminants were not considered an issue. And, of course, they wouldn't have been back then because it was a war situation.
Unexploded ordnances also litter the island, but are marked sporadically. Rudis says a naval disposal unit tried to minimize the risk of explosive accidents, but the plan backfired.
They thought it could blow them up and it would neutralize them, so to speak, but a lot of things don't totally blow up or they're buried in the bottom of the pile.
Attu is one of about 10,000 formerly used defense sites nationwide. The Department of Defense has about $250 million each year to whittle away at some of the 2,700 sites that need cleaning up. Cleaning up the Attu site could cost tens of millions of dollars and stretch out more than a decade. Kenneth Andrashko is the manager of formerly used defense sites in Alaska. He says it could be 2 to 5 years before an Attu cleanup would get underway. The Fish and Wildlife Service will fund this summer's survey.
We don't own that land. We don't manage that land, we being the Department of Defense. Fish and Wildlife might have to look at some of the areas to determine what they want to keep, what is culturally significant to them, what areas they want disturbed, not disturbed, before the Corps of Engineers, on behalf of DOD, goes in and does a remediation.
Fish and Wildlife Service historian Debbie Corbett will join Rudis and the other scientists this summer to survey old Attu battlefields for the first time. She has been to Attu before to study Aleut artifacts.
It's sort of like a World War II version of Gettysburg, where you've got the troop movements and the actual battle. You can see where the battle was fought.
Corbett says World War II artifacts weren't seen as old or special enough to preserve until recently. She aims to leave things where they're found whenever possible. Where she finds an object helps her understand how it was used and what was around it.
I'm trying to get people to think of this as a landscape, not just as isolated objects on the ground or a cluster of buildings or a runway, but the whole thing as a unified picture.
This summer, the Fish and Wildlife team will get to Attu by sea. The Coast Guard station's abandoned runway needs a safety check before planes can land. The Corps of Engineers is making it a priority to clean up Attu before the runway decays, eventually reclaimed by the tundra. For K2, I'm Kelsey Gabrowski.